Bobby, yesterday was the NBA trade deadline. Take me through what your day is like. Do you wake up earlier? Is the phone on beside your head all night in case it buzzes? What's your NBA trade deadline like?
We can probably imagine. Yeah, I think, Wednesday night's always a fun night. So that's the night before the deadline where, teams are calling. And, to be fair to some of the other teams, if you have anything major, you kind of want to at least alert them by Wednesday night. And then, Wednesday night, your dreams are filled of, different players and rotations. And, you can't sleep. And then you wake up and you think it's 10 a.m. and it's probably 5:30 and you can't go back to sleep. No. I mean, it's kind of one of those days, everyone's had. Either it's a day you're looking forward to or a day filled with some amount of stress and anxiety. And then you wake up and you kind of check in with the teams as far as maybe deals you had discussed the night before. And then the fun part is, you're bound to get the noon or 1 p.m. call from a team you haven't spoken to all year with some crazy idea. So anyways, it's probably what you guys imagine. It's more probably stressful than anyone would like, but it's part of the business. And, that's why we prepare all season. And so we're in those moments for, hopefully anything that.
Bobby, sorry about our little technical snafu there. Thanks for jumping back on.
No worries. I guess you missed all the juicy details then.
No, I know. You were about to drop all these big names. Yeah, you were about to acquire, and then all of a sudden, pop.
You actually went on a five-minute monologue. Well, you didn't know he was off air.
Yeah, wow.
I did.
Yeah.
You missed the moment.
Yeah, super disappointing. You mentioned how you have some dreams, potentially, how it's being a sleepless night. What does Bobby Webster dream about before trade deadline?
Or whom?
I wouldn't call them dreams. They're probably more nightmares.
Horrible situations. Was there some leads that you guys were kind of following up until the last minute? I know that the general theme around the team was there wasn't an expectation of necessarily a big blockbuster move, similar to what happened around this time last year. But were you guys kind of in talks with teams up until the end?
I mean, you're always in talks with teams. I think the interesting part of it is, you're trying to strike or walk the fine line of acknowledging what this team has done, respecting, what they did last year, understanding the trust and the camaraderie and the chemistry that they've built. And so that's, I think, more of the, keep you up late at night, which is, do you want to kind of mess with that? That team feeling, right? And if you do, I think the tough part is you just better make sure it's right, right? You don't want to kind of, tinker with it too much. Maybe bring in a player who his style doesn't necessarily fit or it takes a little longer to adjust. So I think that's the stuff that keeps you up is, okay, who are those players? It's a very short list of players that, every team has, which is, okay, obviously we could get, X superstar, but those role players, who fits better with the current group, who fits better going, not only for this year, but for the long term. So those are all the factors that we consider.
Bobby, I'm not saying the pressure would be off, but the amount of equity that you and Masai Ujiri have built up with the fan base, whatever things you decided to potentially do yesterday, which obviously you didn't, I think the fan base would have been okay with because, you guys have a shiny NBA championship to show for it. Were you guys aware that the trust that the fan base has in the both of you is probably never been higher?
Well, first, obviously, we appreciate it. I think that's it's always nice to hear. But at the same time, I think, we hold ourselves in the organization, from ownership down, holds ourselves to a standard, which is, we're not going to rest on our laurels. And we had a great summer of celebration, but we're at it again. And I think if, whether, fans, when they go see our teams play or hopefully when they hear us talk is, we're serious about it again. And no one's, content with what happened last summer. And, we'll enjoy those maybe when it's all said and done. But, guys want to win as many as they can. We want to win as many as we can. And that's what drives us.
With all the other trades that went on in the league this week leading up to the deadline, how many, which ones, affected the Raptors in any way?
So I'd say first couple of people have asked this is the timing of it's hard, right? So you're following, maybe if a deal happens Wednesday night, you can kind of say, okay, does that affect us? Or, do we need to think about our team more? But, you know, it's such rapid fire on Thursday that it's hard to react and say, okay, a deal happens at noon. Well, all of a sudden we need to, you know, kind of change what we've been looking at. But, you know, you're cognizant. You know, obviously we follow what happens in the East with the teams that we're competing against. I think actually this year the majority of us, you know, didn't do anything. So that's maybe a change from the past. I think it seems like all the major moves happened out West as all of those teams gear up for the playoffs. But interestingly, I think ourselves, Milwaukee, Boston, Indiana, you know, stood pat.
Yeah, it was mainly just Miami who decided to bolster things.
Yes, Miami with the Iguodala trade, obviously, you know, they decided to make the move.
So which teams inquired about which players on the Raptors?
Oh, I wish I could tell you, but I think I don't know if that's allowed.
Okay, maybe don't give names, just give their numbers. And then we'll try and do some research to try and figure out who it was.
We'll go with initials, middle names, numbers.
Yeah.
You know, whoever's the best player in the league, that's the only guy who doesn't get called on. So, you know, I think everyone else has to, you know, prepare for it. It's a tough time of year, as you guys can imagine. I don't think we, as, you know, mere mortals have to, you know, deal with the opportunity or the chance of getting traded. And so it's tough around the office. And, you know, it's never a greater work environment where everyone's, you know, concerned that they could get moved the next day.
Bobby Webster is the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, joining us here on Leadoff. Ashley, Ziggy, George Russick, Sportsnet, 590 The Fan. We'll talk about the panic that's in Raptor land with the futures of potentially you and Masai later on. But first, Fred VanVleet, Bobby, clearly one of the most important pieces on this Raptors team. He's a guy who's heading into free agency. How confident are you guys that you can potentially get a deal done with Fred VanVleet this summer?
Right. I have to be a little careful what I say there. The NBA does have some rules here, but, you know, I've said it all along. I love Fred. We love Fred. He's an integral part of who we are, not only on the court, but off the court. He, you know, his leadership, as you guys, you know, see when you watch him, his steadiness, his never getting too high, too low. I mean, all that stuff is who he is. It's you know, it's in his DNA, and, you know, we really appreciate that. So, you know, we'll chat when we have the opportunity to this summer. He knows who we are, and I think it'll be a good opportunity for us to talk about some things.
Has this team exceeded your expectations up until this point?
It's a good question because I think, you know, there's a lot of, I wouldn't necessarily call it noise, but there's a lot of opinions, right, as we went into this season. And I, when I go back and, you know, have some introspection on this, I think, you know, we never had a ceiling on this team. I think we truly went into this year understanding who our guys were, who needed to make the growth, who needed to, you know, have some steps in their development. And so there was never a point where we said, oh, this team can only, you know, be a four seed at the deadline. And I think we went in saying, listen, let's see who this team is. There's a chance they could be really good. There's a chance they could just be, you know, just average. And so I don't think we had a expectation of what this team could be. Partly because, as you guys all saw last year, we had a lot of young players stepping into big roles. And so, obviously, with the departure of Kawhi and Danny, we were just going to have, you know, a huge growth. And so, you know, collectively, I think the team has filled that in, some, you know, some players more than others. But I think going into the year, there wasn't, you know, an expectation that, hey, we can only be a four seed or a three seed. And so I think that helped us.
How important is that two seed to you guys?
Say that again?
Sorry, how important is the two seed for you guys in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think, you know, obviously it's important for home court advantage. You get home court advantage in the first round, and home court advantage in the second round, as we all saw last year, is, you know, it could be incredibly important. So, you know, regardless, you don't want to get into the game of, you know, should we play these guys or we want to play, you know, what matchups. But I think home court is, as we've seen, you know, I think we've had a few game sevens at home in Toronto over the years. You know, I'm not sure you could put a price on that. So it'll be something that, you know, we're obviously shooting for.
I know that you've been kind of busy and wrapped up in trade deadline, but there have been reports that have resurfaced these pesky reports about a certain team in a certain mecca of basketball that might be pursuing a certain president of a certain basketball team in the city. And I know you probably can't speak to the specifics of it, but when Masai's name comes up, when your name comes up and it's talking about the future of your role with this team, how much of a distraction do you and the group consider it?
Honestly, it's not much different than, you know, the other typical noise, whether it's around the trade deadline or, you know, during the playoffs. And, you know, a lot of people have opinions on what we should or shouldn't do. You know, obviously it's a little bit more personal, but it's not. I mean, you know, this, we go into the office and we do our job and, you know, we laugh and we talk. It's not in no way is it a, you know, cloud hanging over us or even something that's, you know, the elephant in the room. It's definitely not that. And it's, you know, more than anything, business as usual. And let's, you know, let's prepare. And I think that's probably more of a testament to how long we've been together and these type of things don't bother us.
It has to be a little flattering, no? it has to be, yeah. Right?
Is it always flattering?
Yeah, it has to be, right? Like, you know, teams want you to fix their disasters because we've seen what a great job you've guys done with the Toronto
Bobby,
Raptors.
It has to be. You can see flattering. The headline already.
No.
Bobby Webster says being pursued is flattering. No, think of the headlines, Bobby.
But he's only human. It has to be, right?
I have no comment on that.
All right, it's gonna be a casino Sam Rothstein when it's like,
okay,
yeah, I'm the big boss. Yeah. I run the show.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. But so I know that Mike has a question that we actually didn't get a chance to ask you about last time you were on the show. So I do want to touch on that. But I also want to talk about someone on the team, and it seems as though you guys managed to just continue to find diamonds in the rough and really just utilize the potential of all your players, and Terrence Davis is no exception. This kid has seemingly come out of nowhere, maybe not to you guys, but I think to the general fan base, and that says a lot because there are a lot of players having really special seasons here with you guys. What can you say about Terrence and his development so far this season?
Yeah, he's obviously been a nice addition, and I think, you know, maybe more productive, you know, at an early stage in his career than most people thought. But I think it's a testament to the organization, whether it's, you know, the scouts identifying him as a player, you know, in college. And then when we bring him into summer league, the coaches and our, you know, skill development work. And then over the course of the summer and into training camp, you know, people helping him adjust to whether it's, you know, other veterans on the team. So it's, you know, it's not, you know, one group here, one group there. I think as you guys have seen, whether it was Pascal or Fred, or now Terrence, you know, it takes a village and there's people throughout the organization that help him. And it's great to see a guy have success. You see the energy and the joy in which he plays with. And, you know, that becomes contagious as well.
Now, when can we expect to see basketball in Hawaii?
Yes.
Is that a cough or was...
I don't even know what to make of that response.
Did you see...
they do play basketball in Hawaii.
NBA games. NBA. Are we going to see any, you know, some international games up there?
You know, I would take them there in a second. A couple of years ago, we were lucky to go do a preseason game there, but believe me, it's on our list of places to go. You know, there's a list of people that want us to come, but you can imagine with my roots, I'd like to take our team back.
So there's no chance of an NBA team going to Hawaii?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's probably a different one. There might be a few too many distractions in time zone. I don't know how logistically it would work.
Okay. Were you mad that Kyle Dubas didn't take you on the mentors trip as someone that he think you could affect change with this Toronto Maple Leafs group? Because I know that you guys are close, and then we see he goes, Max Kerman. You must have texted him, like, Max Kerman?
Yeah, no, no offense. We're peers and colleagues, so it's fun. But I do, you know, appreciate the friendship and the, you know, the professional advice, and we bounce things off each other, and that's the fun of it. And, you know, there's not a ton of people, I think, in our position. So it's nice to have someone with a similar experience.